Man, if they would only believe and use that talent for him. LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode number 353. This is the daily podcast where we're reading through the entire Bible in a year. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. I'm glad you're here today. Welcome. Today, we're going to read Acts 25 and 26, and tomorrow we'll begin our last week together on this year-long journey through the Bible. If you've been with me the entire time, I congratulate you and encourage you to hang in there. We are truly in the home stretch. Just a few more steps to go. We're almost to the finish line. If you joined us in the middle of the race somewhere, I'm so very glad you joined us whenever it was. Let's all finish strong, shall we? 7 more days. We can do this. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for bringing us this far and pray that you'll allow us to finish the year well and pleasing to you. Bless those who are listening today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's begin. Acts chapter 25. 3 days after Festus arrived in Caesarea to take over his new responsibilities, he left for Jerusalem, where the leading priests and other Jewish leaders met with him and made their accusations against Paul. They asked Festus as a favor to transfer Paul to Jerusalem, planning to ambush and kill him on the way. But Festus replied that Paul was at Caesarea, and he himself would be returning there soon. So he said, "Those of you in authority can return with me. If Paul has done anything wrong, you can make your accusations." About 8 or 10 days later, Festus returned to Caesarea, and on the following day he took his seat in court and ordered that Paul be brought in. When Paul arrived, the Jewish leaders from Jerusalem gathered around and made many serious accusations they couldn't prove. Paul denied the charges. "I am not guilty of any crime against the Jewish laws, or the temple, or the Roman government," he said. Then Festus, wanting to please the Jews, asked him, "Are you willing to go to Jerusalem and stand trial before me there?" But Paul replied, "No, this is the official Roman court, so I ought to be tried right here. You know very well I'm not guilty of harming the Jews. If I've done something worthy of death, I don't refuse to die. But if I am innocent, no one has a right to turn me over to these men to kill me. I appeal to Caesar." Festus conferred with his advisors and then replied, "Very well, you have appealed to Caesar, and to Caesar you will go." A few days later, King Agrippa arrived with his sister Bernice to pay their respects to Festus. During their stay of several days, Festus discussed Paul's case with the king. "There is a prisoner here," he told him, "whose case was left for me by Felix. When I was in Jerusalem, the leading priests and Jewish elders pressed charges against him and asked me to condemn him. I pointed out to them that Roman law does not convict people without a trial. They must be given an opportunity to confront their accusers and defend themselves. When his accusers came here for the trial, I didn't delay. I called the case the very next day and ordered Paul brought in. But the accusations made against him weren't any of the crimes I expected. Instead, it was something about their religion and a dead man named Jesus, who Paul insists is still alive. I was at a loss to know how to investigate these things, so I asked him whether he would be willing to stand trial on these charges in Jerusalem. But Paul appealed to have his case decided by the emperor. So I ordered that he be held in custody until I could arrange to send him to Caesar." "I'd like to hear the man myself," Agrippa said, and Festus replied, "You will, tomorrow." So the next day, Agrippa and Bernice arrived at the auditorium with great pomp, accompanied by military officers and prominent men of the city. Festus ordered that Paul be brought in. Then Festus said, "King Agrippa and all who are here, this is the man whose death is demanded by all the Jews, both here and in Jerusalem. But in my opinion, he has done nothing deserving death. However, since he appealed his case to the emperor, I have decided to send him to Rome. But what shall I write the emperor? For there is no clear charge against him. So I have brought him here before all of you, and especially you, King Agrippa, so that after we examine him, I might have something to write. For it makes no sense to send a prisoner to the emperor without specifying the charges against him." Acts 26. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You may speak in your defense." So Paul, gesturing with his hand, started his defense.
I am fortunate, King Agrippa, that you are the one hearing my defense today against all these accusations made by the Jewish leaders, for I know you are an expert on all Jewish customs and controversies. Now please listen to me patiently. As the Jewish leaders are well aware, I was given a thorough Jewish training from my earliest childhood among my own people and in Jerusalem. If they would admit it, they know that I have been a member of the Pharisees, the strictest sect of our religion. Now I am on trial because of my hope in the fulfillment of God's promise made to our ancestors. In fact, that is why the 12 tribes of Israel zealously worship God night and day, and they share the same hope I have. Yet, Your Majesty, they accuse me for having this hope. Why does it seem incredible to any of you that God can raise the dead? I used to believe that I ought to do everything I could to oppose the very name of Jesus the Nazarene. Indeed, I did just that in Jerusalem. Authorized by the leading priests, I caused many believers there to be sent to prison, and I cast my vote against them when they were condemned to death. Many times I had them punished in the synagogues to get them to curse Jesus. I was so violently opposed to them that I even chased them down in foreign cities. One day I was on such a mission to Damascus, armed with the authority and commission of the leading priests. About noon, Your Majesty, as I was on the road, a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shone down on me and my companions. We all fell down, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is useless for you to fight against my will." "Who are you, Lord?" I asked. And the Lord replied, "I am Jesus, the one you're persecuting. Now get to your feet, for I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant and witness. Tell people that you have seen me, and tell them what I will show you in the future. And I will rescue you from both your own people and the Gentiles. Yes, I'm sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes, so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Then they will receive forgiveness for their sins and be given a place among God's people who are set apart by faith in me." And so, King Agrippa, I obeyed that vision from heaven. I preached first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem and throughout all Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that all must repent of their sins and turn to God, and prove they have changed by the good things they do. Some Jews arrested me in the temple for preaching this, and they tried to kill me. But God has protected me right up to this present time so I can testify to everyone, from the least to the greatest. I teach nothing except what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer and be the first to rise from the dead, and in this way announce God's light to Jews and Gentiles alike. Suddenly Festus shouted, "Paul, you're insane. Too much study has made you crazy." But Paul replied, "I am not insane, most excellent Festus. What I am saying is the sober truth, and King Agrippa knows about these things. I speak boldly, for I am sure these events are all familiar to him, for they were not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do." Agrippa interrupted him, "Do you think you can persuade me to become a Christian so quickly?" Paul replied, "Whether quickly or not, I pray to God that both you and everyone here in this audience might become the same as I am, except for these chains." Then the king, the governor, Bernice, and all the others stood and left. As they went out, they talked it over and agreed, "This man hasn't done anything to deserve death or imprisonment." And Agrippa said to Festus, "He could have been set free if he hadn't appealed to Caesar."
Beloved, do you ever look at someone famous who is supremely talented but is not a believer and think, just think of the impact they could have if they would live their life for the Lord? I have many times. I was born just about the same time as rock and roll was. I remember doo-wop music playing on the radio. I remember Little Richard, Jerry Lee Lewis, The Drifters, Buddy Holly, The Big Bopper, Elvis, and so many others in the 50s. And then came perhaps the greatest decade of music, the 60s. The Beach Boys, The Beatles, Ray Charles, Jefferson Airplane, Otis Redding, The Doors, Sir Douglas Quintet, Hendrix, Three Dog Night, Aretha Franklin. I could go on for hours and hours and hours. Anyway, when I was younger, I often thought it's too bad these guys don't see that their gift, their talent is from God. Man, if they would only believe and use that talent for Him, what an impact that would make on the world. Well, guess what? The Apostle Paul, when he was still Saul, was famous in his time. His talent was in studying the law and persecuting Christians. He was well known as a hater of Christians until he met Jesus. Once Jesus changed his life, Paul had the greatest impact of anyone since, besides the Lord Himself. Think of Paul's past before meeting Jesus. And then, let me ask you a question. Is there something in your past that you're ashamed of? Something that holds you back from proclaiming your story with boldness? Do you think the people that knew you before will say, "Well, he talks a good talk, but I've seen him do some pretty bad things"? Well, guess what? Those things you did before have been forgiven. Sure, they're part of your history, part of your past, part of your story. But if Jesus could take a person like Paul and use him, He can surely use you. Paul didn't hide his past, did he? He acknowledged it, and then he said, "But then I met Jesus." Your past does not define you. Your relationship with Jesus defines you. Because of that, you're perfect in the sight of God. You have nothing to be ashamed of. Be like Paul. Share your story with confidence. Make an impact in your world. I invite your comments. Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Tomorrow we'll read the book of Jude, and we'll be counting down the days. Tomorrow is day 7. 7 days to go. Until then, may God bless you richly. If you belong to Jesus, your past does not define you.